Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, how's it going? It's Charlie Alejandro with the Diamond in the Rough show, welcoming you. I hope you had a great weekend. I know I did, and I'm hoping that all our listeners did. Just to let everybody know, Mountain Man did have a surgery on Friday. Everything came out okay. Still in the hospital, so if you guys want to email us well wishes or any just hellos and prayers and stuff for Mountain Man, you're more than welcome to send them our way here, or you can send them to Ordinary Woman, ordinarywmn13 at yahoo.com, or you can actually reach us here through the website. For those of you that are just joining us, I hope you stick around for a while, and I hope you're having a good time while we're here. I'm really excited about the show today. We have an amazing young woman. Her name is Rhea Eden. She is 14 years old. And I'm only going to say that. I will say she's a singer, and I'm just going to leave it up to you guys when you hear her voice. Motivational Monday. Oh, my goodness, I can't even talk. It was such an amazing weekend with my family this weekend. My sons, I have two boys that were born on November 10th. Hoorah, Marine Corps Day, the USMC's birthday. It will be tomorrow. Hats off to all the Marines out there. Well, anyway, these two boys were born on November 10th. And my oldest son, the older of the two that was born November 10th, is actually living in Philadelphia. So my daughter-in-law decided she wanted to surprise them. So she wanted all of us to go out there and kind of surprise him for his birthday. Well, unfortunately, my husband left the cat out of the bag, which was very shocking because he's usually the one that throws it about it, inadvertently let out the fact that we were all coming down. But it's okay. It all worked out. Had a great time, but the greatest time of all was discovering this room full, of people that had been friends of ours for a long time, had been in our life for a long time, and to see how that has transformed over from them being friends to actually being family. And that is such a huge thing. And it was just an amazing feeling to have that. And, of course, getting to see my little grandson was the best. He's, like, totally amazing. So a lot of great things going on for my son and his family. He just got an amazing job a few months ago. His wife is working part-time in her career. She's an amazing photographer and web designer, graphic designer. And, of course, they have my little man who will be 2 years old. But they also have another bundle on the way, so they're very excited about that. And they just moved into a new house. So, yes, it's a lot of huge things coming their way, which for some people can be kind of stressful having all that going on at the same time. But they seem to be able to be handling it all right. And I continue to hope God's blessings will continue on their home because they are an amazing family, and I'm very proud of them. I just want to say happy birthday, Eric, and I hope you guys had a great time. And also to my son, Jose, his birthday will be tomorrow as well, and I'm hoping he's having a good time. So to our listeners, Motivational Monday, remember, no matter how bad things may seem, no matter how bad the news has been of the day, you've got to move that darkness aside. You've got to see through it. Just remember, for those of you that live in the New England area, you know this time of year can be so rough because we go from these really long, beautiful, sunny days to these really short, dark days. And it can be very hard for us because most of us, we wake up and it's dark. We get out of work and it's dark. And we kind of get into this funk where it just seems like we're engulfed by this darkness and we're just never going to get out of it. So we do get out of it. Spring always comes. It always does. And then we have the long, warm days and the sunlight and everything's just there for us. So what we need to do is find ways to find a light to hold on to in that darkness, whether that light is reaching out to a friend, whether it's discovering a new talent you didn't know you had, or maybe developing one that you knew you had but hadn't used in a while. Maybe it's reaching out to somebody that you haven't reached out in a while. You never know how you're going to make a difference. And the reason I bring this up is because this past Sunday, an entertainer in our area called Brother Blue, he was an amazing storyteller. And I remember Brother Blue coming to my school when I was a little girl. And I have to tell you honestly, I never imagined that when I did the math, he was 88 years old when he passed away. That meant that Brother Blue was in his 50s when he came to our school. And it blew my mind because my mind's eye remembers him as this vibrant, young, incredibly just energetic person. And I could have told you that he probably was no more than in his 30s. And his ability to take Shakespeare and bring it down to the everyday man, the stories he shared, the amazing things that he partook, it made you want to share stories. It made you want to read and to write and to share the world with people. And it was funny that in his story, he said when he was younger, growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, that his one fear was that the world was never going to remember him. Well, as was evident by his wake on Sunday, that wasn't the case. There were hundreds of people there. I'm sure thousands more had him in their thoughts because he changed a lot of lives. I know for me, I must have been like in third or fourth grade the first time I saw him, and I will never forget him because he was just an amazing person and the impact he left in my life. What I'm saying to you is, in the darkness, you think that no one cares, that no one's there for you, but they're there. But we need to reach out. We need to look through. We need to fight it out and not give up and hold on to our faith, hold on to our beliefs, and know that someday soon that light will come, the sun will come, and we'll be able to move on. So that's my thought for Motivational Monday. I encourage every single one of you to dig deep. And you know what? If it takes having an extra candle on or maybe an extra lamp to get you through it, do what it takes. I don't care if you got to have your grandchildren or your children draw you pictures of the big sunshine with a smiling face to get you through it. But do whatever it takes. So moving on to the show, I'm so excited for the guest we're going to be having. She's waiting in the wings. I'll be bringing her on in a couple of minutes. I want to remind you, Wednesday, Veterans Day, please take the time and the opportunity to thank a veteran. To thank a veteran for their service to our country. Remember, the reason I'm on this radio, being able to say what I want, is because a veteran went out into the field and sacrificed for me. They either died for me, they got wounded, or luckily, if they were lucky enough to come home safely, they sacrificed time away from their loved ones and their family. And they also had a lot of emotional scars to deal with as a result of that. So I could be home, safe and sound in my bed with my family. So remember, don't take it for granted. Use your right to vote. Use your freedom for positive change. Do not forget all the amazing men and women coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and other theaters out in the field. Please make sure that you talk to your congressmen, your legislatures, make sure that the money that is needed for services for these young men and these women are put where they belong. I don't care about flowers in a park, but I do care about my veterans being taken care of. I want to make sure that the medical services that they need, that the prosthesis that they need, the mental health services that they need, the services that their families need are there because they deserved it, they earned it. And you know what? It's all well and good that we go out to the parades and wave our little flags and show how proud we are. But the most important thing is we need to remember them long after the battle's over, long after the parade has ended, to make sure that these veterans get the services that they need and that we show them our support like family because that's what they are. They've made a great sacrifice for us. So please do not forget to thank a veteran today and let them know how grateful we are for their services to us. Regardless of what your political view is or what you think of the war, that's beside the point. The point is, these men and these women got the call to serve. They went ahead and did it very selflessly for you, for me, for everybody that has the freedoms that we have in this great country of America. So don't forget that. Also want to let you know, Friday we have ASG in an amazing group. You get to talk to them, hear them out. And don't bug yourself out. Friday the 13th is always a lucky day for me, and I'm sure you can make it lucky for yourself. It sure as heck going to be lucky for us, because ASG is going to be in the house, and we're going to get to hear them. So moving on, I feel a little lost and a little lonely because Mountain Man is not here, but I know that he knows that he's in my thoughts and in my prayers, and I wish him a speedy recovery. For those of you listening, if you want to call in to Rhea, any questions, the number is 347-989-1473. So again, number again is 347-989-1473, or you can log directly into the website www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled WMN. You can log on there. You can listen to the show on the player. You can download it, or you can log into our chat room, which we've put up. And if you want, you can chat questions, whatever you want to do, as long as you join us on the show. I know we have a listener out in Australia, John D. Love out there for you in Australia. I really am surprised that you're out there. I love the fact that you're listening to us. Thank you so much for your kind words and your support. So now we're going to go on and... Rhea, are you there?
How's it going?
Hello. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing really well. You'll have to excuse me one second. I have going on in my mic. Hold on a sec.
Okay.
I don't know why it does that once in a while. So, Rhea, how's it going? I have to tell you, I heard that song, and I went, whoa. That's the only thing that came to mind.
Thank you.
I have to ask you, so from what I heard from your bio, you always like to sing. So when did you actually realize, because you're so young, when did you actually realize that you love singing and that's something that you wanted to do for your whole life?
Well, obviously, everyone says, oh, I've been singing since I could talk. Literally, since I could talk, I have been singing. There have been words. They may not have been real words, but they were something coming out of my mouth in music form.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. That is so cool.
When I was, how old was I? I was like three. I used to sing The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow, but instead of singing Come What May, I used to sing Come With Me. I thought I was right, but I wasn't. But I sang it anyways. And then when I was like six, my mom used to be a dance teacher. And she said, are you ready for dance this year? And I was like, no. And she was like, why? And I said, because I want to sing. So she signed me up for singing lessons, and I've been doing it ever since.
That is amazing. Now, I have to ask you, so you started singing lessons. How old were you when you started your singing lessons?
I was six, and I couldn't even read yet. I could read some stuff, but I couldn't read. So only one teacher, I love her to death. I haven't talked to her in so many years. She was the only one that would take me because I couldn't read.
Well, yeah, because you were so young, so that had to be challenging to be able to learn.
Yeah, so my mom would have to tell me the words, and I would have to learn them through memorization. I'd have to memorize the song, and that's the way I had to learn it.
Well, that kind of had to be an advantage for you because it kind of, at a very young age, encoded the memorization
skills,
So, which is very essential for a singer because you have to memorize all these different songs. So
yeah.
You started singing lessons when you were six. Now, when was the first time that you actually performed in front of an audience?
I was six. I used to perform at nursing homes and once a month with this same vocal teacher, and it used to be she'd gather some of her best students, and we'd do a show, and we'd sing about two songs each, and I'd have a really fun time, but I remember I used to refuse to use the microphone. I would not use the microphone. I did not want to. I didn't think I needed it. But then one time my grandfather said to me, I'll give you $1 if you use the microphone.
Uh-huh.
And then from then on, I'd just been using the microphone. No more dollars, just I use the microphone.
You know, it's funny. Parents and grandparents have a knack for bribery. That's how I actually got my daughter to sing in public. I think she was a freshman in high school. I shared this story a little while ago. I told her, I will pay you $20 if you run out to the announcer's booth at the football game and tell them that you got hired to sing the American National Anthem. And she says, you'll pay me for real? I said, I will pay you. And she did. She ran up there. The announcer didn't know any better because they usually had a recording. Next thing you know, she's out there. Of course, I called it. I told her I was cheating because no one could see her because she was out in the booth, you know, where they announced the game.
Yeah.
But bribery goes a long way.
Well, I was six. A buck was a big thing when I was six.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I have to ask you, do you remember the very first time you sang in front of a crowd?
Oh, God, yeah. I remember I sang Happiness and the Bare Necessities.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how, but I managed to remember all, like, there was about four verses in the Happiness. I remembered all four verses and from Charlie Brown. And I remember I used to rock back and forth when I sang. As aggravating as that is to watch someone rock back and forth when they're on the stage, that's what I used to do. And I look at the old tapes and I'm like, that is so aggravating. Why did I do that?
Well, but I guess because you were only 6 years old and it had to be nerve-wracking.
Hang on, and
How many people were actually watching you that time? Was it a large group? Was it like 20, 30 people?
There was at least 50 elderly people in the audience at a time, plus the parents of the students and the families of the students that go and watch the performance.
And you weren't nervous or anything. You just obviously beside the rocking bit. I can't imagine being 6 years old and sitting in front of all those people.
I've never been nervous. I don't know if anyone's going to believe that, but I've never been nervous.
Well, I guess because you came to it so young, it's like second nature to you. So I could tell you the fact that you wouldn't be nervous because this is something you've always done.
The dancing on the stage also helped because I was on the stage when I was, as soon as I could learn how to walk, I was dancing. So I was on the stage immediately because it was my mom's dance studio. So she put me on the stage, and I think I was in Alice in Wonderland, and me and my cousin were Tweedledee and Tweedledum. So.
<That's> awesome. Okay, so now you're...
I was old when I did that, so pretty much I've been on the stage since I was two.
I have to tell you, it just blows my mind that you were that young and were able to do that, especially because I've heard your voice, so it's like, oh my goodness, I can imagine people seeing this tiny little six-year-old girl, and you know, as a parent, you think, okay, they're going to have this cute little kid song, and when your voice comes out, you're like... All right, where's the guy with the tape recorder? Because I know there's no way that's coming out of that tiny little body.
I've always had a big voice. I remember in elementary school, I auditioned for the school play, and I used to do all the school talent shows. And I won, for the 3 years I was in Billerica, I won all three townwide talent shows for the vocals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised that because your voice is so incredible.
And I used to get picked on because I was singing, and I didn't care at all. It's for my school, and I was representing, and I didn't care. I was having fun, and I didn't let it bother me, so.
I'm glad you didn't, and I noticed that happens a lot. I mean, I hear stories where the young people that are actors or singers or just get a lot of shine have that problem at the school level where people are making fun of them, and it boggles my mind why people would do that, because you have an amazing gift, you're sharing it with the world, you're obviously bringing honor to the school, recognition to the school, which can result in good things, not just for you, but all the students there, and then they're going to make fun of you for it. It
wasn't even as the kids, it was the parents of the kids that were upset, because I was being allowed to compete, because I was being allowed to audition for the school play. But it was my school, and I wanted to do it. I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to do what I wanted to be, like every other kid, being able to perform in the talent show.
Exactly, and that's the thing that's another thing that bogs me. And for you parents out there, please don't take this wrong, but you need to listen to this. Sometimes nowadays I notice it more than when I was young, that parents just don't get the concept that is your child's life, not yours. So if you need to separate that, because I see a lot of times where there's parents that they wanted to do some things in their life for whatever reason weren't able to, you know, start living their life precarious through their child to the point that, like you said in your case, you have parents saying, well, she shouldn't allow to be doing this because it's a talent show. She has talent.
Mom,
just
my mommy.
Her talent is so incredible doesn't mean she should be shunned just because she has this amazing gift. So,
like my mom used to say to me all the time whenever this, because it bothered me at first when everyone used to say this, but then I didn't let it affect me after. It just blew past me like a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom used to say to me, everybody has their time to shine. Everybody has their moment. Everybody has their 50 minutes of fame, their special time, their special day, their special talent, their knack, their what they can do. And
right.
I used to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. And it's very true. And the reality is just seeing your work ethic, your maturity at such a young age, because like I said, I just can't get beyond the age that you have and the way you perform and everything. It goes to show that you're going to go far with this. You appreciate the fact that you have this gift. You appreciate the fact that you want to share it with people, and not just for yourself, but just to bring recognition to whatever organization you're involved with. And that's just a testament to who you are. And it's sad, because the reality is, you know, years from now, you're going to have an amazing career, and these people that were trying to stop you aren't going to really be anywhere, because that's just the way the universe works.
Right.
You have to have good thoughts and good energy towards people in order to get it in return. It's really sad, because
exactly.
I'm the first one to be, if you have an amazing gift, even if it's not your child, support it, encourage it, help them foster that, because that is something that it's a shame for it to go to waste.
Right.
And now I have to ask you, so you got into the singing. Now, what venue do you use it in more? Now, you just recorded. You have one MP3 that's been recorded.
Right.
I
have more. I have more. They just haven't been, they're not finished yet, and they haven't been uploaded yet.
Right. So you're just
There's snippets of them on my MySpace, but
mm-hmm.
they're not completely done yet. So they will be completely uploaded. You will be able to hear them. I'm just not exactly sure when. They'll be released sometime this year.
Okay, so you are actually going to release an actual CD.
Yeah, eventually.
Okay, and what is your
preferred
genre for it? What is your preferred type of singing for it? Your preferred venue or genre?
Pretty much pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
Around that area, around that genre.
Right, and now have you been performing regularly outside of school talent shows and that kind
of thing? Oh yeah, all the time. I actually have a show coming up on Friday.
That's fun. And where is that going to be?
It's going to be at the Melrose Middle School. It's going to be my mom's telling me, because I have no idea what it is. The Anti-Bullying Summit. I don't know what it is. I just like going and singing. She explains it to me. It's
pretty much
for picking on kids.
What we'll do is we'll get your mom on, and then she can give us the information in a little bit. But I have a caller on the line, so let me go to that real quick.
Okay.
And so hold on. See, Mountain Man, my co-host, he does this, but he's in the hospital because he just had surgery. So I have to make sure I don't lose the caller. Hello, you're on the Diamond in the Rough show. How are you?
I'd like to talk to Rhea.
Hey,
Hello?
How are you?
Hey.
I'm great.
Do you have a question
for
Rhea? Oh, there you are.
Hi.
Do you have a question for our guest? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, I think I lost him. Well, whoever that caller was, if you call back, we will get you back on the line. So, Rhea, if you will hold on, I'm actually going to play your song right now for our listeners, just so they can get a listen to it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute you so you can actually hear the song yourself, and then I'm going to play it, and I'll bring you right back on, all right?
Okay.
All right. So this, for our listeners, this is Rhea Eaton, and this is her song, Flake, and you are just going to be amazed by this song. So I hope you enjoy it. That was Leah Eaton singing a fabulous song. I mean, it's an amazing song. Rhea, you back, honey?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry. I kind of dropped the ball. I was so busy dancing to that. I forgot I had to push the button. I love that song. That is so incredible. And I even had a gentleman on the chat line saying that it's some incredible talent. He says you've got some true talent there. So you got to realize your voice really touches people. It's so great and so amazing that
thank you.
You have this gift and you're willing to share it. Now, let me ask you, where do you see yourself going from here with this voice? I know you're – now, what grade are you in school right now?
I'm a freshman in high school, so I'm in ninth grade.
You're in ninth grade, so you got a few more years in the area. Where do you see yourself going from here with your voice and your talent?
Well, hopefully we're going big, but – we're going to record more and release some more. We're going to release some singles, and hopefully by next year we're going to have the debut album out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, this is all going to happen with my great management team. My great management team is helping me through this whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and they're just great.
Now, who's your management team?
I have Vicky Frankmano and Kingsley Gardner. They are two of the most amazing people I have ever met. I love them. They're both from New York, and they both have quite a lot of things that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky's done so much. She was Raven Simone's manager.
Right.
She's worked with people in so many TV shows, like The Cosby Show, Getting By, Moesha, The Steve Harvey Show, Happy Days, Good Times,
huh.
Fame, the TV show, Roots, The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
She's worked with Irene Cara. She was her client, and she was in Roots, The Next Generation, and she was also in Fame, the original movie.
That's excellent. So you're lucky that you actually have a management team around you that knows how to get people
that know
where
what
they
they're
need
doing.
To go.
Yeah, they know right. what they're doing. And then my Kingsley is amazing. I love him. He's one of the funniest, nicest men I have ever met. And mm-hmm. he has done so much. He worked with Merlin Santana, who was Romeo on the Steve Harvey Show. And
right.
he's collaborated with Desmond Child, Denise Rich, Diana King, Billy Myers, Billy Crawford. KGM Entertainment is his management company, and Vicky is VM Talent Management, and they're both amazing. I love them both, and they keep me going. Them and, of course, my mother, they all keep me going.
Now, I have to ask you, because I know, again, because you're so young, do you find it difficult to balance schoolwork with your music and everything else that you're trying to focus on in your life? What do you do to keep it in balance?
I don't think so, only because I've been doing it since I was six, and homework and stuff on top of it, it just, without what I'm doing, I'm bored. Like, if I don't have a show to do, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
Or a song to learn, I'm bored. I'm bouncing off the walls because I do my homework. I'm bouncing off the walls. I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. I've hung out with all my friends. They're getting bored. Boring. I don't want to hang out with friends anymore. They're boring. They're boring. I love them all, but they're boring. If I don't have something to learn, if I don't have something to sing, if I don't have something to learn on the guitar, if I don't have something to... someplace to go to sing, I'm bored.
It's funny, too, because, again, it's got to be a testament to parents, to our listeners, that you keep hearing the people saying, well, you know, it's too much for the kids, it's stressing them out, it's too much.
No,
once you're in it, it's hard to
get out. Even, like, I don't even want to get out. Like, if you wanted to get out, if I stopped doing what I'm doing, I'd be bored for the rest of my life.
Exactly, and that's what it is that parents don't realize, that kids in general are very resilient, and they're going to do what we teach them they can do. So from a small age, a child is taught to multitask, to be able to do different things, obviously with balance, because like you said, you have your friends, you have school, you have your music, you have all this stuff, and you've learned to balance it since you were so young that to you not doing it isn't normal. Yet some parents feel that kids can only do, oh, well, they can only do this much or that much because then they're going to be all stressed out. And the reality is that that's not a good thing to instill in kids because you're shortchanging them. In your case, I can imagine what it would have been if your parent was different, where they said, well, no, you're too young. We got to wait till you're 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever for you to get your talent.
Once you're that age, it's hard to start.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It is.
Yeah, my mother's very careful with what she allows me to do, and like all the. She's very careful. She looks everything over very many times. Like before I do something, she has to look it over. Like I could.
This is very important.
Yeah, she's just protecting me, obviously.
Right.
And I remember when Kingsley, one of my managers. Found me through MySpace, and he messaged my mom, and he was like, because she's very careful with me being on my music MySpace. She doesn't like me to answer things. Like, if I was on it and I had a message, I have to be like, Mom, someone messaged.
Right.
And she's very careful about that. And I remember when Kingsley messaged, I had no idea who he was.
Right.
He said, I don't know who's running this right now, but I'd like to talk to the parent of Rhea because she's amazing, and I want to work with her. And she gave him, what did you say you gave him?
Third degree.
She gave him the third degree. She asked him a million and one questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, just Google me. I want to work with her. I like what I'm hearing.
Right.
Google me. And Vicky is a really close friend of his, and he connected me with Vicky, and he was like, this girl's amazing. We all had a meeting together, and she was like, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know you yet, but I love you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because that is very important, and again, I have to go outside the parent role. This is a businesswoman talking. You have to do that anyway, and that's one of the reasons why I go out and let people like you get exposure, because I see so many young people that have a talent and might be quote unquote desperate to get signed because they want to make it big, that they wind up getting into contracts with very unscrupulous people, and they wind up getting taken advantage of. And that can really just sour your whole attitude towards the music industry, towards being in that kind of field. So it is very important for your parents to do that. And it's great that your mom does that, because I know for me, I've had young people reach out to me, and I'm like, great, where's your parental unit? I am not saying another word to you because
also
of the fact that it's
person,
very important.
Like the performer themselves being comfortable with who they're working with. Like, I've worked with several other people that I say to my mom, as soon as we're done with the first session, I'm not comfortable with this person. They make me feel strange. I can't, no, this isn't working. We can't do this with this person anymore. It's not working. They make me feel uncomfortable. And that's also a big factor that factors into it immensely, because I'm very comfortable with Vicky and Kingsley, and that's one of the best things to have such a supportive management team. Not only that they're so supportive, but as I'm extremely comfortable with them.
See, that's very important, too, because you have to be, and that's another thing. It's funny that everything just ties in. As parents, we need to know that we have to listen to our kids' instincts, and that's very important, because you could have someone that worked with Michael Jackson, that created, you know, every hit Michael Jackson had. But if you as an artist and as a person are not comfortable working with that person, it can take a lot away from you. And then that's where the stress factor comes in.
Back. It can make you hold back, and it could make you not reach your fullest potential as an artist.
Absolutely, because every time you're in the room with this person, there's that apprehension. And the thing is, I believe very much in, like, gut instincts, and I'm one like that. I always go with my guts with people because there's always that thing. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's awesome that your mom listens to you and understands how that is, because that is very important. It is very important to be able to be comfortable with the people that you're working with. Now, Ray, I have a question. On top of your singing, what are you into, any other activities in school or after school?
Honestly?
Mm-hmm.
All I do is sing. That's all I do. I don't do sports. I've never been a sports person. I act. I used to do a lot of musical theater. I act. I'm capable of doing that. If I ever come across something that has to do with acting, sure, why not? I'll act. But I don't usually do school things. Like, I don't do extracurricular activities. Whenever I attempt to do sports, I always manage to get hit in the face with a ball. I got hit in the face with a soccer ball last week, and I had to leave school early. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, that wouldn't be good for your type of work that you're trying to do. Definitely not.
I was a singer walking around with one tooth left.
Well, it could be like a couple of months ago. I did some acting, and I remember having this big black eye and trying to explain to people why I had a big black eye, and then spending, you know, the makeup and all that stuff. And it's funny, and it was a result of sports, because I do sports, and I'm telling you, the two just do not go together. So I totally understand where you're coming with that.
Yeah, like,
it's just,
I've tried sports. I try them in gym at school, but even just every time I attempt to participate, something goes wrong.
Oh, now, have you ever tried dancing?
So much dancing. My mom was a dance teacher for 23 years. She had her own studio.
Right.
She was a professional dancer in the Boston Ballet and the Boston Dance Prism from when she could walk, basically, because my grandmother was also a dancer. So my mother and my aunt were dancers from when they were literally walking. So
you come from a long line of dancers. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, long line of dancers. And everyone in my grandma's family danced. And before that, that's why when my mom was like, you want to sing, where is this coming
from? Yeah, I know. I was going to say, where did that come from?
What is this coming from?
I mean, were they saying, okay, somebody must have switched her at the hospital because I got a singer, not a dancer? What happened?
It was also like it got to the point where there's so much dancing in my brother and sister's life, that I was like, let's do something different. I think I like singing. Let's try it. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to throw this in there. My brother and sister's birthday is tomorrow also. Just thought I'd
put
that in there.
No, but I have to ask you, though, it's, being able to sing like that doesn't just happen. It's just you have an incredible voice.
Thank you.
Now, my thing is, does anybody else in your family sing? Does anybody say, well, okay, who did you get this voice from, or is it just a fluke of nature?
Well, it has to start someplace. My mom just even said that. It has to start someplace. Mm-hmm. But I am going to give my grandmother on my father's side some credit. She's also, she is very musical.
Mm-hmm.
She's not dancing, but she's very musical. She plays, how many instruments does she play? She can literally pick up an instrument that she's never played before and play it somehow.
Wow,
I don't,
that's awesome.
She plays everything by ear. If she hears a song on the radio that she's never heard before and you sit her at a piano, she'll sit and play it.
Wow,
and
that's a gift
of a grandfather never tried singing, but I've heard him sing, and if he want my grandfather, my mother's father, if he, I guarantee you, if he had tried singing when he was younger, he would have been a singer. Because I've heard him sing. He can sing.
That's excellent.
He is my absolute biggest fan. He
oh,
is at
man.
Everything, all the time, everywhere. He has a bad knee, and he insists on going to everything. When I sang at Topsfield Fair, he insisted on going, even though he was 10 miles behind everyone else walking, because his knee hurt.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
But he was there. He was there. Him and my grandmother was there.
Uh-huh.
And
see,
they
insist
on going to everything.
To have that. Right.
Huh?
Well, see, you're lucky that you have that support unit, because that's very
it
important
is.
To have.
So lucky to have that.
Now, you say you also play the guitar, right?
I do play the guitar.
Now, when did you start playing the guitar?
August. I've been playing the guitar since August. I had, like, a few group lessons that taught me absolutely nothing because everyone else in my class didn't even know how to tune the guitar, so I basically learned how to tune a guitar in that group lesson. And then I've had about a month and a half to 2 months of private lessons. And I picked up all summer. I didn't have lessons all summer because they stopped for the summer. And I picked up by searching things online, trying to teach myself. And then I got into the lessons. It was instant, like, guitar was, like, all I do is play guitar when I'm sitting in my room. I play guitar and sing. I did not even want to learn. My mom bought me a guitar for Christmas, and I was like, absolutely not. I will not learn this thing.
That's so funny.
I was like, I will not learn this. Do you see how complicated it looks? Do you see what are these strings for? How do I move my hands? Where do my fingers go? But then once I learned one chord, it was like chord after chord after chord. And Kingsley said to me, you have to learn it. You're going to learn it. I'm making you learn it whether you want to or not. I love you, and you're learning it. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So this song that we just listened to, are you the one playing the guitar in it?
I'm not. I've actually tried to play that song on guitar. It's really, really hard. It's very intricate, and there's a lot to it.
Right, there is. But you just started recently, so eventually you're going to be at a point that you're going to be able to do that.
And we're also in the process of getting a band together for me, my backup band. So they'll also be able to play that for me. So instead of just singing with a regular track, I'll be able to interact with my band rather than just the audience.
That's excellent. That is really huge. You know, it's funny, that's important, too, because I've seen singers that don't have a band. They do it just off the tracks, and
it
does kind of take away from it.
It's not traction. Like, it doesn't seem like they're having as much fun.
Right, exactly. And when you have the right band around you, it makes a huge difference because the personalities can play off of each other.
Yeah.
So are you planning on touring anytime soon with the fact that you're getting a band hopefully together?
We're keeping our fingers crossed. We're hopefully working on that. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I would love to tour with Justin Bieber. I am absolutely head over heels in love with him. I don't even know if you know who he is, but he will be my celebrity husband. I have officially decided that.
I love it.
And
I love it.
That when and if, hopefully, please, I go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
I will be on tour with
him. Actually, I can see that because your music would be a fit.
Yeah.
I actually can see that where you could actually be an opening act for him. So, yeah, I definitely do see that.
Because I'm always at school and I'm just mumbling some Justin Bieber songs off the top of my head. And they're like, Victoria, you're obsessed. And I'm like, sorry, I can't help it. He's my husband. I can play one of his songs on guitar.
That's awesome.
By the way,
that
I just
so
Victoria.
Amazing.
I don't. Uh-huh. You probably didn't know what I meant. I said Victoria. That's my real name. Rhea.
Right.
Came.
I figured that, Rhea. Yeah, I figured that because that's
yeah.
what it sounded like to me.
Yeah. No,
it's awesome though because of the fact that see this is what I like about you. It's your because I'm telling you. When you interview a young person, and I'm not taking anything away from young persons because I work with them all the time, but when you have someone that you have them on a radio interview and you're picking at them basically to get all these facts, and to have a personality like yours where you're putting it out there, you're giving me all this information, you're telling me all this about you, and the fact that you're interesting and you're funny, that again is another layer of your talent because it's
yep.
not easy to do. It's not easy to sit there and have a total stranger, as my son would say, all up in your business, trying to be nosy about your life, and then you're like trying to nonchalantly say this. You know, it is. It's another fact to show how mature you are, how far ahead of the curve you are.
One of my original songs that we're planning on releasing soon, there's actually a snippet of it on my music, MySpace. There's two snippets, mm-hmm. one of it's a remix. It's called Can't Get Enough. It's about this person that you don't even know being all up in your face, like, what's going on? I don't know you. What are you doing to me here? What's going on? What are you doing? They're nosy.
Oh.
They want to know what you're doing. They want to know everything. But that's what the song's about.
That is too funny. I'm going to have to download it and just put it on the radio because I know what that's like. It's so crazy. So for me, when I do the radio show, that's one of the other things I try to do. I want my listeners to know about you, but I'm not crossing that line because I don't need to know who you're dating, what you do, because that's none of my business. It's no one's business.
Yeah.
And that's one of my reasons why I think tabloids are so sleazy, because I could give two hoots what you do behind the doors of your house. All I'm interested in if I pay $30 to go listen to Rhea Eaton on stage, I want to see her have a good time with her band. I want her to rock my world musically for an hour and a half, and I want to walk away feeling good about what I heard.
Yeah, like
that's
you don't need
the
to
only
know.
Thing I'm concerned with. Yeah.
Yeah, like you don't need to know who's this person dating now. But for your information, I'm not dating anyone except Justin Bieber. So just thought I'd.
She's a one woman man. I love it. I love it. I love it. She's a one man woman. I mean, that's it. That's her guy. That's it. She's got it.
Hi.
No, but it is. It's very difficult, especially for some things too. That I've also noticed that some young people, whenever an adult, quote unquote, starts talking to them, they kind of change modes. All of a sudden, they're like feeling like the person. Yeah. Exactly, like, oh, why is this old lady talking to me? I don't want her in my business kind of thing.
I'm more comfortable with adults than I am with people my own age. Because I've been working with adults for so long,
mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was the only kid in a show of adults 30 and older.
Uh-huh.
And I was about 9, and I absolutely loved it. I felt like the most grown-up 9-year-old ever.
Well, yeah, again, it's a testament to your work ethic because it's not that the other 14-year-olds are immature. It's just that they're not as mature as you are because, like you said, you've been working with adults and you have a long-term goal. Because I know when I was 14, you're like, oh, what are you going to do when you grow up? I'll be like, I'm lucky if I know what I'm going to have for breakfast. You're trying to ask me what I'm going to do in 10, 15 years. So it's amazing when you're that young that you have that focus,
yeah.
You know what you want to do, and it shows, and that's going to help you go a long way in life.
I remember I did a show about a year ago
mm-hmm.
in Delaware, and we were thrown in a house with people that we didn't even know for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we all came really close, but there was this one kid that wasn't even in the show. He was a nephew of the director, mm-hmm. and he stayed in the house with us, and he was pretty much one of the most annoying people, all of us, I've ever met.
Rhea, I got you on that. I know exactly what you mean.
So, one line.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed with us the whole time, followed us around, and it got to the point when me and my friend, we got really close while we were there, and we're still really good friends now. Me and him were like, I can't take it anymore, and we just lost it on him. Lost it. Completely flipped out at this boy. And my mom had to take us outside and say, listen, he's the normal boy. He's the normal kid. You two aren't normal. down to work. He's a normal kid. You guys aren't. And we were like, oh.
You know, it's funny. It is. It's funny because, you know, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I have a couple of nieces that I have full-fledged adult conversations with them because that's how they are. I mean, they will sit there and talk to you about things that adults don't understand as far as, like, what's going on in the world or their philosophy of life. So I understand when you get around a quote-unquote normal child of that age, you're like, what's wrong with this kid? He's boring. You know what I mean? I can't have a normal conversation with him. And I understand that it...
He wanted to play. He wanted to go outside and play soccer, and we wanted to stay inside and rehearse lines and go over songs, go over dances, go over this.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to go outside and play. Come on, guys, let's go play. Go play, go play, go play, go play. No. We want to work, and we want to get it done, and then we'll go play. So then as soon as we're done working, let's go play. Mm-hmm. No, we need a break. We want to get food. Then we'll go play. So we went and played after. But it got to the point where, yes, we yelled at him. We yelled at him a lot. But then, in the end, we realized he is normal. We're not. It's okay.
I love the way you just so nonchalantly say, he's normal. We're not. We're good with it. You know?
We're not normal. Like, everyone tells me, do you feel like you're leading a different life?
Mm-hmm.
Not really, because I've been in this life for so long.
Right.
But my friend even said, he was like, Rhea Victoria, it's like Hannah Montana. She's Miley and Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
She's two different people. When she's on the stage, she's Hannah. When I'm on the stage, I'm Rhea. When I'm in school, I'm Victoria. When she's in school, she's Miley. Not in any way comparing myself to Miley Cyrus. I'm just saying we have the same type of situation here.
Well, absolutely, because of the fact that you, and again, it goes to show that you know the difference. You know, okay, this is who I am here. And this part of my personality is the one that I'm going to use here. And again, that's part of your maturity level. And I know exactly how you feel because my kids have been involved in a lot of things. And I remember one time one of my daughters actually flipped out on a kid because when she was mentioning, he asked her, well, what have you done? And she explained to him, well, she sings, she dances, she did karate, she was in all these sports. I mean, she was just doing, and he looked at her like, you're such a liar, why are you making this up? And she just was insulted that
I know.
I couldn't believe that.
Another one of my friends messages me, you know, a little Facebook IM thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was signed on the Rhea Eaton one. And I have my personal one, I have my friend's one. And he messages it, he's friends on both of them. He goes, will you turn back into Victoria?
Oh my God.
Can you put Victoria on? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I logged off and I put Victoria on. I logged Victoria on. And he goes, oh, hi. I was just talking to Rhea.
Oh, man. I can so relate to this. Because, I mean, it's funny because that's how I have to live my life. Because there's, you know, this person that deals with being a wife and a mother and all this other stuff. And then there's Charlie that does the radio and the acting and the writing and all this. And you do, you get that where my boy will say to me, okay, you know, Charlie can leave because I don't need my manager right now. Can you send my mom in the room because I really need to talk to her?
Yeah, my mom is coming now. Can Charlie leave? We don't need to hear Charlie right now. Thanks.
I do. I get that a lot. It's so funny to hear someone actually using the same metaphor when they deal with stuff.
Everyone says I make it look so easy balancing being Rhea, balancing my schoolwork. I'm like, it's not the easiest thing to do, but it's something I'm willing to do what I want to do. It's a hard business, but it's worth it in the long run.
It is worth it, and it is hard. And that's the thing that I want our listeners to understand. It is a hard business, and it takes a very special kind of person to be able to do it. The other thing it takes is a lot of support. You have to have your family in your corner. You have to have your friends in your corner.
There is. There's a lot of letdowns. There's a lot of highs and lows. You have to take rejection well. You have to be a good winner. You have to be a fair loser. I've done a lot of competitions. When I win, I'm good about it. I don't flaunt it in everyone's face. I won, haha, you didn't. It's not like that.
I know, exactly.
Haha, I won, haha, what are you going to do about it? Go cry in a corner.
And it's good that you have that attitude, because you know someday it might be you in that corner going, I hate you because you won and I didn't.
Right. Okay, I will tell you that I absolutely used to love The Sound of Music. I despise it now, because I have auditioned for that show four times. And every single time, I happen to audition in the summer every single time. I don't know, that's just when it happens. And every single time, I make it to the last cut on a hot, hot summer day. The last cut.
Oh,
and
they
cut me because I don't fit. I don't fit the oldest girl. I don't match. I don't have the same hair color. Okay, couldn't you have caught me from the beginning?
Oh, Rhea, I got you on that. You know, it's funny because I don't understand that mentality. I've gone through the same thing where I've gone through all these auditions, and again, they keep calling you back, and they're like, and for me, it's even tougher because I have a background in law enforcement before I retired, and people look at me like, but you don't look like a cop. And I'm like, well, you couldn't have told me that 5 trips into Boston ago instead of now. I wasted gas, all this, and now
you've had this oldest girl picked out for a month, and
yes.
I don't have the same hair color as her. Why couldn't you have just cut me the first time?
I know, and then either I'll dye my hair, or I will go and swim, or have fun, or go somewhere for another audition.
It's hot out.
Being here. I know. Oh, my goodness, Rhea, I got to tell you, you're amazing. I'm so definitely going to have to call you back on the show. Make sure you keep me posted when your release is coming. We're going to have you on the show shortly before that, so we can talk that up.
All right.
The time flew by like that. Any hellos, shout-outs to any of your friends, family, before we end the show?
She's probably not listening, but I'm happy to say hello to my best friend, Natalie. And tomorrow is my sister and brother, Tyler and Rebecca's birthday. They're going to be 17 tomorrow, and I want to throw that out there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Just to let you know, you can go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, and you can actually download the segment so you can have it for your website and stuff. Want to give our listeners your website where they can hear more of your music?
All righty.
So what's your website link?
My website is www.myspace.com/VictoriaLeeEaton. VictoriaLeeGhEaton. Then you can go on the Rhea Eaton Facebook. You just have to search Rhea Eaton. And then there's a Rhea fan base also on Facebook. And then there's the YouTube account, which is www.youtube.com/VictoriaEaton. And the YouTube is being completely reorganized. There's like one video on there right now. We're reorganizing it. And there's going to be new videos uploaded as soon as possible. So we're waiting on that. And there's going to be new music soon. And everything's going to be new. And it's going to be all new, Rhea, refreshed.
Awesome. So for our listeners, too, if you're on the website for Blog Talk Radio, her links are on there. You can actually also hit the link and hear the song Flake with her. You can see what she looks like, real cutie. So, yeah, definitely, Rhea, we're going to have you back. Oh, there goes the thing in my ear. I got 60 seconds. Thank you so much for being on the show. To all our listeners, thank you so much for joining me. And remember, don't ever let anybody steal your dreams away. Good night, Rhea. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Charlie. Thank you.